Avodah Zarah, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yud Aleph, 4:11. And to understand this Mishnah properly, according to the Bartanur, you have to learn it with the next Mishnah as well. The case is Hamitaher Yeno Shel Ovid Kochavim. If you have a Jew who's gone essentially into business with a Gentile, and he's saying, listen, Gentile, you have the winery, but you can't make kosher wine. The Jews don't have a kosher winery, but we'll make kosher wine with your facilities. Let me go and I'll harvest and I'll manufacture the wine in your premises, and then we can sell it to the Jews and make a, you know, make a good profit. So that's the plan here. Hamitaher, therefore, in our Mishnah, doesn't mean tahor in terms of tum and tahor. It means tahor in the context of being kosher. So hamitaher yeno shel over kochava means that the Jew is preparing wine in the under the auspices of the Gentile, the idolater, and which will be like kosher Jewish wine, if you will, free of the concerns of yai nesach and stam yenam. V'nosne b'rshuso b'bayis ha'pasuach l'rshus ha'rabim. Provided that he puts the wine for storage in a room that is exposed to the public domain, meaning people walking in the public domain can see what's happening inside that room, like the windows can, from the public can see in, and it's Be'ir Sheyesh Ba Ovdei Kochavim V'Yisraelim, and it's a city which is populated not just by Gentiles, but also Jews, so then Mutter, that's an okay setup, meaning the assumption is that everyone knows everyone's business. The Jew has gone into business with a Gentile. The Jewish wine is being stored in this room. The room has windows that open to the public domain. There are people, Jewish people, who walk from time to time through the street. They can peer in and see what's going on. And therefore, the Gentile, who is like the owns the premises, right? So he will not go and fiddle with that wine because he knows he can get busted. He'll be caught out if some Jew happens to see him and therefore lose his reputation, lose his business, lose this business, and so on. And therefore, the situation is okay. We're not concerned that he's going to go in and tamper with the wine and do libations and the like. So far in our Mishnah, we've actually had two criteria that are required in order for a Jew to make kosher wine on the premises of a Gentile. Number one, it has to be that it's stored in a place where the public can see the storage facility. And B, Jews are present who can do the surveillance and can surveil it from time to time and see what's going on over there. So you need that surveillance possibility, and you have Jews doing the surveillance. That's required as two conditions. Now, according to Bartanur, there'll be a third condition as well. We see in the next Mishnah. But our Mishnah says if you're making wine and you don't have the possibility of those two criteria being met, for example, Be'ir Shekula Ovdei Kochavim, if you have a city which is populated entirely by Gentiles, you can't trust the Gentiles to report to the Jews that, you know, the guy with the winery is fiddling with their wine. And therefore, Asur, that wine will not be considered kosher. You can't drink it. Ad sheyoshiv shomer, until the Jew who's making the wine and keeping it as, you know, kosher Jewish wine, arranges for a shomer, a guard, to be there to keep an eye on the wine. Now, v'ena shomer tzarch lihos yoshiv u'mishamer. That guard for the kosher wine doesn't need to sit there and, like, watch the wine 24/7. Afal pishu yotze v'nichnas mutter. Provided that he goes in and comes out, he's a nichnas v'yotze, he comes in from time to time to check on the wine, and the owner of the wine, the Gentile owner, has no idea when he's going to come, then that'll be enough to inhibit the Gentile owner of the wine from, you know, sneaking in there and doing something sneaky, because he knows that the shomer could come back at any time and that'll ruin his business, ruin his reputation, and people are just terrified to lose their reputation. So that will now be a plan B. So in other words, two of the criteria you need are that it has to be open for surveillance and it has to be Jews doing the surveillance, and if you haven't got Jews in town that can do it, then your plan B would be to get a Jewish shomer to observe it from time to time. Okay, now, this setup so far implied that the person who, like, essentially owned the winemaking facility is also the person who owns the storage facility. It's one and the same, which therefore would suggest that, according to the Tanakhama here, that if Peter owned the winery, and now the Jewish kosher wine that was made in Peter's winery is being stored in Paul's storage facility, a different Gentile, so that would suggest that would be okay, because Peter won't sneak into Paul's backyard to fiddle with the wine, because Paul will think he's a crook and a thief. And similarly, Paul won't go and sample the wine, because Peter could come in any time, and the Jew could come in any time, so therefore, everything's going to be on the up and up, according to the Tanakhama. However, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Kol Rishus Ovdei Kochavim Achasi. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar doesn't differentiate between Peter and Paul as two separate people who kind of keep an eye on each other. No, his concern is that, you know, one hand will watch the other. Peter will sneak in there, and Paul will turn a blind eye and let Peter do his, you know, help himself to the wine or do libations, whatever the story is. And then in return, you know, Paul will get some favor from Peter. So we can't trust them at all. And therefore, you treat them as the same. Okay. Now, that we're not done with the Mishnah here. We're gonna just have to go into the next Mishnah here before I can explain how to learn this Mishnah, the next one, according to Bartanura and Rashi, as well as Rabbeinu Tam, which is different. So just hold your thoughts on the Lecha Lecha L'maisa until you learn Mishnah Yud Beis right now.